with the world around us giving us pictures of what's important and what's not important, and who they see God to be, or if they even see God to be there. It's good for us sometimes to stop and take a look ourselves and ask, Lord, who are you really? He says he never changes, so he's still the same as it's been all through the Bible. Sometimes it's good for us to review it. I'd like to do that tonight. You may have seen this bumper sticker in the past, over maybe the last couple years. It says coexist.
Yes.
And that wouldn't be such a bad term, except that you see a lot of symbols with that word. And those symbols, each one depict another different religion. Maybe it's Hindu, maybe it's Islam, maybe it's just all these religions in the world. And I believe it's at the very end, they use the T of coexist and put the cross in there with it. This is one among many options that there are. And so I was curious, I'm curious this evening, what does the Bible say about God? Is he willing, look, if you would just, come on, just put me somewhere in the lineup. If I can be anywhere in the lineup, I would be happy. I'm all right if I'm at the last of the lineup. Just would you let me be there somewhere? Is that who God is? Have you been able to see him through the scriptures to say, you know what, if I can just have a little place somewhere, I would be happy? I was looking at a verse in Psalms 115 and 4. I'd like to start there. Gives us a picture. How could anybody worship a God that they made with their hands? This one, Psalms 115 and 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. You remember we read through the New Testament of the people that would get so upset because Paul came, because they had made idols and they were selling them to people. And it looks like now the people are getting saved. Those idols are not going to make any more money for them, and they're real upset about it. Look at this. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. You remember when Elijah on Mount Carmel, all these prophets of Baal, and Elijah has just a simple request. We need to see today who is God. So the God that answers by fire, he will be the true God. And I'm going to give you the first opportunity, the 450 prophets of Baal. You go ahead and start. And you know, they really had an anticipation that their God would answer by fire. They started out, they started working with it. And, you know, to be able to do it, you need to drum up some emotion. You need to get something going. And as I've got to be able to get an answer here. And you remember, it went on to the point that they were cutting themselves. I'm needing to make some kind of a sacrifice to this God to get an answer. And then Elijah, this is these kind of gods that they're looking to. They have mouths, but they speak not. You remember when Elijah, after a while, he just kind of has a little fun with them. You're probably going to need to talk louder. He may be on a journey, sleeping or something. If he's, you know, if he's a man, you might need to turn it up a little bit. They never got a response. Why? Because these idols have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Idols that men worship. You know, we go into the Chinese restaurant and see that one sitting there with maybe an orange or some piece of fruit in front of it. And the fruit is replaced occasionally because it never eats it. And yet people look at those idols. And the sticker that says coexist means, okay, put them all up here together. These are the ones that people worship. Let's just make them all on an even playing field. They're all the same. And God, okay, let's put him in there with them too. He'll just match them up. And yet God, when we see him through the scriptures, he never is willing to participate in that way. And I was, do you have, you know, we've heard Bible stories all of our life. Do you have an example in the Bible where God says, I won't play this game. I won't be willing to just share this with another. I'll give you an example. This is in 1 Samuel, in the 5th chapter. You remember when Eli failed to restrain his sons, and now there's a battle coming on, the Philistines are coming. This is in 1 Samuel 5. 1 Samuel 5 and 1, the battle has happened, and you would think there's no way that the children of Israel could lose with God on their side. In fact, you remember after the first little battle, Eli's son said, I tell you what, we're going to bring the ark into the battle. Because if we have God right here this close, we're going to win then. And you remember when they had already lost one battle. And when they brought the ark into the area, the children of Israel started rejoicing so loud that the Philistines over on the other side said, what, you know, they've just got a whipping. What is happening over there that they are so happy? And then it was told to them, look, they just brought the ark of God. You know what? Those Philistines had heard stories about what God had done in the past. And you remember the Philistines were told, you know what? You better fight with all you have when we go back in the battle again. Well, they fought and they won the battle. And they took the ark of what should have represented God. They took the ark. It's their prize now. In the 5th chapter, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to coexist. I'm going to bring it right in here with my other god, Dagon. Look at the second verse. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon, coexisting. We're going to put them here together. Here's their god. We just won the victory. This is their god. And here's ours that we worship. It says, and when they of Ashdod arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. When they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. They quit worshiping that one. He no longer has a head or hands. He's fallen down in front of the God of heaven. And I was thinking about that. That's just a story in the Old Testament. But then I saw another one in 2 Kings in the 19th chapter. The Assyrians are coming up against Hezekiah. And they let him know, you know what? We have been taking country after country. And their gods were not able to save them. And in the 19th chapter of 2 Kings, word comes to Hezekiah. And they, in the 11th verse, 10th verse of the 19th chapter of 2 Kings, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God... You know, this is the last one over in the sticker of coexist. Don't let that God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? And he goes down through, have the gods of the nations delivered them. And he names off all the nations that they have taken over. And how do you expect the God that you serve to be any different than those? And I love Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah said, Lord, they're telling the truth. What they're saying surely has happened. 17th verse. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. And then he prays out to the real God. You know, there was a time where people were willing for Christianity to exist if it could just exist along with everything else. Yeah. Just this is how you believe, but this is how we believe. You know, I'm seeing it change even now. It's almost like we will not allow you to have a differing opinion. We're going to stamp out Christianity totally, it seems like, anymore. But you know, one reason for that is God does not share his with anyone. God does not say, I tell you what, just put me on the T of coexist and I'm willing to do it. No, God says, I'm the only one. I will not share. You know, it'll be that way till eternity, till we all go out into eternity. And it's good for us to remember. Here's a verse that I'd like for us to take a look at in Acts. Here's a verse that tells us there's no extra, there's no exception here. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Today, there is no salvation in any other in that word coexist that has all the other options available. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, it's going to be good for me to remember that. Just to keep in mind, this is who God really is. In all the world around us where there's no mention of, in the sins, the direction our country is going, there's no mention of, hey, let's stop. And let's at least read in the Bible, God's word, what he thinks about this subject. It's almost like it has never existed in the past. Yeah. We don't ever hear about it. We don't ever hear any scriptures given by leaders about it. But we need to remember, there's no other name under heaven given whereby men can be saved. So with that, I bring it on down to where I am today. Because this God that would not share with any other, he would not be willing to be set up with this other God, Dagon. I won't be compared with him. You know what? He expects some things out of my life today. Because there's some gods that I can have in my life. They're not carved out of wood. They're not carved out of stone. But they're just things that maybe take up a lot of my time. They have value to me. And I want to make sure that I'm never setting them up beside the God of heaven. So I was thinking of a word, first. It's what God requires of me. Not just somewhere in the lineup. As long as I can be put in there somewhere, I'll be satisfied. But that he is looking for first in my life. I'd like to look at a verse out of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20 and 3. These are all familiar verses to us, but sometimes they're good for us to remember. Third verse of Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now that verse just right off could make you take a look at, okay, let me put him first and then I can have other gods after him. But no, it's not that. I thought of another verse in Isaiah 42 and 8. My glory I will not give to another. I'm not going to share it with anything else. Don't have any other gods before me. And so is there another verse that lets me know he's not just saying put me first and you can have other gods after me? No, then we look at another verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So where he was talking about thou shalt have no other gods before me, whenever I love him with all this, there'll also be no other gods after him. He will take full place in my life. And I was looking at the instructions that God gave to the children of Israel about him wanting the first of things in their life. I was looking in Deuteronomy 26 and 2. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, put it in a basket, shall go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. You know, I was thinking about that. A person that raises a garden and they see the fruit, whatever it is, tomatoes or whatever, see that first coming on and watching it start to ripen. I know people that sometimes they'll raise strawberries. They'll go out there and watch those things as they start to turn just a little bit. And there's anticipation there. The first of the fruit is going to be so special for me to have. And God said, tell you what, I would like for you to take that first of the fruit, which would be so special for all of us. I would like for you to take that first of the fruit and bring it to me. Now, you know what? That starts tying in with all this. I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Because you know what a chore that would be to have to follow this law if I did not love him with all of my heart? Well, I've got to do it, but my heart is not there. I wish I did not have to do it. But you know, I think what he was trying to do was build inside them a love for the Lord to where I would like to give him the first. He made it as a law at first. But you know what? It would be nice if it was from their heart. You know, as they're watching that fruit ripen and they say, I'll tell you what, I'd love for this to really ripen good when I bring it to the Lord and offer it to him. That's what he was wanting. There's another one in the 9th and the 10th verse of this same one. Because now they're looking at it of, the reason I'm doing this is I have some memories. He hath brought us into this place. He hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. You remember where he was saying, I'm going to bring you into a land. I'm going to give you houses that you did not have to build. I'm giving you vineyards that you did not have to plant. And here's coming back from that now. You remember he was telling them then, you be real careful that you not say it was my power that hath been able to get these things. Well, here's what they're doing. They see that he brought us into this place, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. You see that difference? Now it's not just a commandment. Lord, I think about what you have done for me in the past, and I just want to be able to, I want to be able to get this first fruit to you. The change that comes from that. I was thinking also of a place in Malachi. You know, there was places where the Lord would go back to them and remind them, hey, you've got things out of the priorities are not right. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And he goes on down and he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Yes. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I was looking at this. He's giving them a little reprimand. You got things backwards in your life. Your priorities are not right. But I tell you what, if you get your priorities right, I'll pour you out a blessing that you would not be able to receive it, be able to contain it. And there is a verse that I heard just recently. I don't know if I've ever seen this verse before. It's in Malachi 1 and 8. Because you know when I'm willing, okay, I'm going to have to give something to the Lord. So here's what I'll give. You know, his requirement to them was, I want the best of the flock. You find the very best one that you have and bring it to me. If it has any defect at all, don't bring it to me. Well, look at this verse, 8th verse. If ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? So if I had an animal and I say, boy, this sheep cannot even see here, this lamb. So it's not going to do me a whole lot of good. I wouldn't even be able to sell it. So I'll tell you what, I'll take it to the Lord here. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? If I have, I got one that's just about to die, but if I can get it to cross over into this where I give the offering, if it'll keep on walking till I can take it in there, that'll be good enough. But look at this. Offer it now to thy governor. When I read that, I thought, you know, this is something. Whoever thought of saying this? You're going to try to bring this to God. This thing's blind. This thing can't hardly walk. I'll tell you what. Take it to the governor and tell him, I got you a gift right here. This thing can't even see. It's sick. It's about to die. Offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? That was an interesting scripture to me. Would I be willing to offer some of the things that I say, okay, God, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this. Would I be willing to take it to the governor and say, you know what, I really want to give you something special right here. God is interested in me giving him my first, yes. Giving him my best. And there was another verse in Haggai. Where some people had gotten some things out of line. And here it says in the fourth verse of Haggai 1, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, when in my life I get things out of balance, to where the things that temporal things become the most important to me. This is what happened here. They had no place to worship, but they were able to build their houses and didn't seem to be too concerned about the house of God. It says, consider your ways. Maybe they were saying, you know, we really don't have any money left to be able to build something for the Lord. He said in the sixth verse, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So we're talking about at the very first, I put God first above everything else. And what can happen, you know, it said that I'll pour you out a blessing that you would not be able to receive it. There's something that can happen when we put God first in our life. I remember when I got married, and at that time they were saying, you know what, it is not possible for a family to live on one income now. You're going to have, for you to be able to be successful, you will have to have both work from here on out. But you know what, there was a place where it said for a wife to be a keeper at home. This one says, it's possible for me to earn wages and put it in a bag with holes in it because I didn't put God first above everything else. And you know something I saw? Whenever I say, you know what, I'm going to see this as value in my life, God is able to make things stretch, make things work that people would say, I don't see how it could happen. You know what happened? It's because I put God first. Yes. And it's not just in that area, but I have seen it time after time. But in fact, not so much money-wise. We're hearing a lot lately about quality time that people say we're given with our children. Working moms. You know, there used to be a respect given to wives that stayed home and raised their children. But I tell you, in the last few weeks on the news, it is almost like, why are you being a burden on your husband? You need to be out taking care of yourself. You know, what do we have to think about these children? And to me, all that, we can just let it go right on by. Because this other has value to me. You know what, when the Lord says, here's what you do, it's kind of like where he said that over in Malachi. I tell you what, you bring your offerings and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. Just in that one area, if it's not even about money, I just remember when, as I was growing up, I took it for granted. I wish I would have appreciated it more. But to be able to come home from school, and there's Mom cooking supper, and I know tomorrow she'll be there, the next day she'll be there. That's just what Mom does. I took it for granted. And you know what? How much value that had? How much value it would have to our world today if mothers said, I tell you what, there's not a job out there that would be more important than me raising my children. If we have to do without a lot of temporal things, this is first in my life. And I believe the Lord is interested in that, not just in that one area, but so many areas that the world is saying that has no value anymore. It has great value for me to put God first in some areas. And here's another verse. Some things start happening when I put God first in my life. Matthew 6 and 33, a promise from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else that you need after you have put me first in your life, they'll fall into place. And this verse came to me tonight when Paul put in his request. I've got a test tomorrow, and I'm not really comfortable that I'm prepared for it. And he's at church tonight.
Yes.
You know, he could have said, oh, there ain't no way. I have got to prepare for that test. I'll just try to make it Wednesday night. I want to tell you something. I really believe this is one of the areas that we can prove God. And I'm expecting to hear approving from this. Now, I don't say, okay, we'll just come to church and we won't put our part into it. No. But after we have done our best and now it's service time, and I say, I tell you what, this is the most important thing to me. I won't put anything else ahead of this right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. You know what? If I can really believe it, it's one thing for me to say it in a Sunday school verse, but it's another thing for me to put it down inside my heart, and out of my heart then comes the living of it, that I don't put anything else first above God. And I realize the value of when I have put him first, these other things are going to fall into place. Whether they fall into place like I would have liked it, whether I end up with as much money as the neighbor had or not, it does not matter, because his blessing on my life is what's going to be the most important. There is a verse, I'd like to read it to you, in 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. I've read this before. It's when Elijah has been told to go to the widow's house. 17 and 9, God's telling him this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And at the end of the 10th verse, he says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. You know, so far everything seems pretty good. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What a story. He says, could you bring me a little bit of bread? She said, look, I don't have bread. I've got just enough to feed my son and myself one more time and we'll die. You know what? He could have so easily said, oh, I'm sorry. I bothered you. I'll go somewhere else and get me a drink. Maybe somebody else will give me some bread. But you know what he did to her was he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me. She had just enough for a cake little cake already. So he's saying, bring it to me first, and after make for thee and thy son. Now here's the promise that he's telling her. And you know, there's something about, I believe she recognized something in him. Because when he asked her to bring some bread, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. How does she know he even knows about God? I believe there was something lighting up in her mind that this man has a contact with God. And then he's telling her, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And you know, she could have said, that's fine, I understand what you're saying, so I'm going to test it. I'm going to make a cake, but before I give it to you and you eat it, I'm going to look in the barrel and see if there's enough to make another cake. Yes. You know, she had to have some faith to believe that if I put this one first, this will also happen. You know what? We have to have faith today to believe the same thing. If in 2018 I put God first, yes, in my life. You know, we have the verse that gives us a commandment. And you know, we're living in busy, busy times. But we have the verse that gives us a commandment. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And it seems like surely the day is approaching fast now.
Yes.
And that's like a commandment. It's like one of the Ten Commandments. You need to do this. But then I look at some other verses that after I have put him first, here's how it feels. I was glad when they said unto me,
yes,
let's go to the house of the Lord. That's called having him first in my life. Now it's not a commandment. As the heart panteth after the water brooks,
yes,
so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And it says in maybe the next verse, when do I get to appear again before the Lord? Now it's no longer a commandment. It's a desire of mine.
Amen.
Because I put God first in my life. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Where he's given them instruction. About taking up an offering. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. So I was thinking about that. Not, okay, I'll tell you what, after I have paid all my bills and I've made all my commitments, if there's anything left, I will give some to the Lord. You know, we've been taught ever since a child, let it come off the top. And the Lord's going to cause it. You remember what he said? You do it one way and your earnings can be like a bag with holes in it.
Yes.
Because you know what? Things can happen in your life to where if you said, you know what? I don't have money this week. I don't have money to give to the Lord. And so, because I got these other things, you know what? You can have things start happening in your life that falls apart and takes more money than you would have given the Lord. And sometimes I wonder if maybe it was intended to show me about this verse. I don't carry a bag around me with whether it's got holes in it or not, but I do have times when it seems like it wants to drain my pocketbook. And that's when I ought to look and see, oh, let me check something here. Do I have God first in my life? Let me make sure he's first. There is another verse in 2 Corinthians. This tells about somebody putting him first. 2 Corinthians 8 and 5. This they did not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The very first thing they did was they gave themselves to the Lord. And then in the 12th verse, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
Amen.
if, and you know, we've heard many times, maybe even this morning again, God is able to discern down into the thoughts and the intents of my heart. And he's able to check and see if there be first a willing mind. If my mind is, Lord, this is my desire, this is what I want to be able to do, it's accepted to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Because you remember when the talents were given out? And it says maybe to 1 5, to 1 2, to 1 1. And it told why. It wasn't because the one that had five was a better friend to the man that gave them out. It said according to their several ability. Yes. The ability that they had to do something with it was how it was given out. And you know, it is so easy for me to look around and see others that can do it so much better and to say, I can't, and they can, and so I will sit back. But I look at this verse, then you seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added to it. And if I happen to be the one with one talent, rather than go bury it, for me to take that one and do the best for it, with it that I can. That song, I am only an earthen vessel, number 147. I'm only an earthen vessel. I'd like to look at it for a little bit. That Jesus may use as he will, whether much I may do in his vineyard, or small be the place that I fill. Whether it's a 5-talent job or a 1-talent job, whether it's out by the highway of the vineyard, or if it's back in the back of the field, I'm just an earthen vessel. Amen. I'm only an earthen vessel, but I'm cleansed by the Master's dear hand. He hath placed me just where he would have me, and ready for service I stand. I'm only an earthen vessel. All excellence is of the Lord. For alone I am worthless and empty, and nothing of profit afford. I'm only an earthen vessel. The graces within are not mine, for the love and the power and the glory belong to the Savior divine. I am only an earthen vessel, but Jesus has pleasure in me. While I gladly submit to his purpose, a vessel to honor I'll be. When I have put him first in my life with the one talent that he gave me, I'll go out and I'll use it. And I'll ask you, Lord, because he said, prove me. I'll pour out, I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing. And that doesn't need to be money. It just needs to be his approval on my life. That's all I need. There was another place I was thinking about. Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah is going to be taken up, and Elisha knows something is about to happen, and Elijah tells him, I'm going to Bethel. Why don't you just stay back? No, I'm going with you. He goes with him there, and then he has about 3 places. Jericho, I'm going to Jordan. Why don't you stay back? And all those times he said, oh no, I'm going with you. And then you remember when he asked him, what is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? He said, I'd like to have a double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. But I tell you what, if you see me when I go up, it'll be granted to you. And you know, when I thought about that, there was nothing for sure that could distract him then. I believe he was probably walking so close on Elijah, if Elijah would have stopped, he'd have bumped into him, because I am focused on him now. Because I've got a desire, I want this in my life. You know what? The world around us would like to tell us there's a lot of things that are real important today. Some of those, it can be temporal things that we need to have. We need to plan for retirement. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and every other problem that can ever come my way, it'll be taken care of. I'm thankful for that. I want to keep in mind next time I see a coexist sticker,
yes,
the God of heaven is not willing to be set on the same level as all others, nor is he willing to be set on the same level in my life. Lord, I put you up against all these other things that are important to me. I want to still give you a little place. No, I want to put him first, and then all these other things will be taken care of. I'm desiring prayers.